This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. With the advent of the Penryn family of chips from Intel, a lot in our computing is going to change, and a lot in high-performance computing could be changing. And I've got Richard Dracott from Intel to explain some of the issues around high-performance computing and what the advent of Penryn and a new architecture means for HPC. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Jason. Pretty good. Thanks very much.
Let's chat about where you see HPC changing. Where is the most growth in this area?
Well, the high-performance compute segment is really exploding. It's been on a very, very fast rate of growth over the last several years, and there seems to be no sign of this slowing down. In fact, some of the market analysts are saying that this is north of 20% of the overall server system market, and in fact, potentially even a higher percentage of the total number of processors actually being shipped out there. So very, very fast-growing market. A lot of the growth we're seeing is in the somewhat more modest size high-performance compute clusters. So this is anything that may be as small as a cluster of four nodes, four processing nodes under your desk, up to maybe 100 or even 200 nodes. And this area is where we're seeing much more substantial commercial adoption of high-performance computing to solve real-world problems. Just to give you a couple of examples, we are used to thinking about high-performance computing for things like flight simulation, simulating airflow around planes, or for that matter, cars, and doing crash tests. But the level of simulation now is taking those kinds of technologies, applying them to more mundane problems. If I'm building a liquid and shipping that liquid in a plastic bottle, commercial companies are sort of modeling dropping that plastic bottle on the ground and seeing whether it explodes or not, so they can optimize the strength of the bottle. They're doing things like airflow analysis around potato chips to see where the seasoning will settle, so they can optimize that manufacturing flow. They're doing things like dropping cell phones and razors, electrical razors, on the floor and doing crash test analysis of those. So at the end of the day, people are using these computers to simulate what has formerly been done with literally manual modeling of the real thing, or manual testing of the real thing, so as to get their products to market faster.
And supercomputers were once the province of billion-dollar companies. We're now starting to see small and medium-sized businesses actually looking up toward the possibility of being able to have some access to supercomputing power.
Absolutely. As the cost-effectiveness of these compute clusters has improved, and the actual entry-level cost has gone down, and there are more and more tools out there like Intel Cluster Ready that helps you put clusters together, it's become accessible to a far wider range of companies, and we're actually seeing a boom in a space which some people refer to as personal supercomputers, literally a small cluster of computers underneath your desk, because you can actually do significant classes of work on that prior to maybe going out and renting time or accessing internally a bigger machine that's much more expensive.
Well, what's happening in the high-end area, though, the laboratories and large institutions? Is this space changing with high-performance computing? Are there new challenges for those institutions?
Well, this is an area that's in continuous flux. The people at the very, very high end are always looking for more performance. One of the attributes of the high-performance compute sector is that people typically have an insatiable demand for more performance. If they're weather modeling and you give them a brand new solution that maybe tens of thousands of processors, you could double that performance and they could immediately use it by improving the accuracy of the modeling, or which in turn helps them forecast further out or forecast more accurately where a storm is going. There are areas that are expanding, such as life sciences, where we can still barely simulate small elements of the human cell on a very large machine. The ultimate ability to model complete biological ecosystems or entities so that you can test, do online drug testing and things like that. All of these things are over the horizon, and no matter how much more performance we see, they will continue to drive forward to do larger and larger machines.
Supercomputing 2007 is just around the corner. What is the buzz that will be at that conference?
Well, several things will be going on at that event. The first is that, of course, all of the different companies, ourselves included, will be there talking about our new products. So this is probably one of the single largest event in the high performance computing space that takes place every year. I'll come back to the product piece of it in a second, but the other thing that gets done at supercomputing and then its mirror event in Europe in June, ISC, is the publication of the top 500. This is the top, the fastest 500 computers in the world that have, can get listed. And we've seen some very dramatic change on that list, and I'm expecting that change to continue this year. Realistically, although we introduced dual-core processors a couple of years ago and quad-core just last year, it's taking time for people to actually deploy those into larger systems. And so we just saw a relatively small amount of dual-core penetration into the top 500 list in June, and very little penetration from quad-core. I'm expecting that to be significantly different this November. I think that, first of all, you're going to see a very large amount of change on the list. And secondly, I think you're going to see a pretty big jump for Intel's presence on the list, largely thanks to the volume of dual-core and quad-core processors that we've shipped. Moving on to the product buzz, this is a big deal for us because we're launching several new platforms. The principal one is one we call Stokely, which is a dual processor node. It can be either used in clusters or of two processors or combined into larger machines. This platform brings along several new capabilities. First of all, there's the new processor core itself, Harpertown, which is part of that Penryn family you mentioned earlier. So it's taking advantage of new technologies to get more power efficient, larger caches, as well as some new instructions that we've added to the architecture. The other thing we've done, though, is outside of the processor, we've really revamped the platform to feed that processor more efficiently for high-performance compute workloads. So we've got a much faster interconnect between the CPU and the chipset and the rest of the system. We have done some additional architectural optimizations in terms of how that bus utilization occurs. The result is that we're going to see much faster scaling on this machine than just the processor would bring. You're going to see anything as much in some cases as nearly 50% performance improvements on some of the benchmarks. In addition to that, we have introduced on this platform the first iteration of PCI Express Generation 2. This doubles the speed of PCI Express, and it can be important both for workstation applications with very high-end graphics, but also for high-performance clusters where people are using InfiniBand, and they either want to be able to add multiple rails of InfiniBand or even go up to higher speeds like dual data rate, which is now coming along. So at a platform level, this is a very significant step forward, even from where we are today. In addition to all of the new product announcements going on and the top 500 listings, there's some other fun stuff going on that people may be interested in hearing about. One of those is an event we're holding at the Intel booth called the Ultimate Geek Award. This is literally a competition to build a cluster. Anybody in the education space is invited to come down and literally build a cluster on the show floor. This is something we've done at previous supercomputings, and it's proved to be very popular. The fun thing about this is the person who ends up building that functional cluster fastest essentially gets to take it home. So there's an opportunity here from someone out of the academic world to take home a $30,000 8-node Harpertown cluster from supercomputing. And if you're interested in participating in that, visit www.ultimatehpcgeek.com.
Okay. Well, Richard, thank you so much for explaining the new technologies that are on the horizon. Of course, when the announcements come, there'll be a lot more detail then.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting supercomputing.
Richard Draycott from Intel, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.